Welcome to Mosaic House Online Worship. Today we'll be talking about listening. Did you hear that? Sorry, did you listen to what I said? It's about listening, because when you listen, your friends, your neighbors, your loved ones, the person who is speaking to you, that person will feel known. And when that person feels heard and known, they will feel loved. Do you have a friend who's a good listener? Do you wish you had a friend who's a good listener? And what's the difference between hearing and listening? Well, here's my definition. Hearing is about gathering information. Okay? I hear you say you are hungry. I hear you say you are thirsty. Now, listening, in my book, is about empathizing the heart. Listening is about agreeing with the thirst of the heart and the soul. So maybe you can relate to this. Your spouse, in this case, usually the husband, is sitting on the couch doing his emails. He's got the game on TV, and he's multitasking, typing away, watching the scores back and forth, and usually the wife says, "Hey, honey," she says something, and then he goes, "Mm-hmm, good shot, mm-hmm," and the wife goes, "Did you hear me?" He says, "Yeah, I heard you." "Well, say what you heard," and he repeats it, and then she goes, "Okay, you heard, but you weren't listening." See, that's the difference. Hearing is about gathering information, but listening is about feeling the heart of the person who's speaking. My wife, Une, is an excellent, superb listener. People come to her, many people come to her, because they find her a what? A good listener. I think what happens in the course of their time together is they feel heard, number one, and number two, therefore, they feel known. She understands what I'm going through. And then lastly, therefore, when you put being heard and being known together, guess what they feel? They feel, that's right, loved. L-O-V-E-D. They feel loved. Whereas when people come to me, you know, I like to solve the problem. I hear, I gather the information, and I simply say, "Well, you ought to do this." And oftentimes, what I'm finding out is they don't feel heard, and therefore they don't feel known, and that therefore, at the end of the conversation, they don't feel loved. Do you have a good friend who's a good listener? Are you a good listener? Do your friends come to you to be heard, to be known, and to be loved? Here's the roadmap. Today, we're going to receive, we have two parts. Number one, we're going to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. And number two, then therefore, we get to, yes, you heard me correctly. Listen to me now. You get to dispense that grace to others. Jesus, so here is the theme and the goal. Ready? Please write these words down by downloading the sermon outline and the notes. Please write these words. The theme and the goal. Jesus blesses you by listening to you, and therefore, you bless others by listening to them. Jesus blesses you by listening to you, and that's an act of grace. When God of the universe listens to you, that's grace. Amazing, surprising grace. So you receive grace, and therefore, now you get to dispense, you become a conduit of that grace of Jesus Christ by you listen to others, and by doing so, you bless others by listening to them. Two parts: receive grace, dispense grace. We will be reading together John chapter 4, one of my favorite places of the entire Bible. And that's because I so identify with the character in the story, the woman at the well. I'm going to offered two methods of reading and understanding the Bible. The first is, please utilize these two methods. Number one, picture it. Number two, personalize it. Personalize it. Picture it. See the picture of the story. Be in the picture. Hear the sounds and see the sights and feel the air. How cold, how hot was it? How tired was Jesus? Why is the woman coming to the well at the noon of the day? Okay, now, second methods, personalize it. One of the best ways for you to experience the power of the scripture, the Bible, is when you see yourself in the characters themselves. When you identify yourself with the woman in this case, personalize it. See what she's going through and recognize that you are going through a very similar experience. So are you ready? Are you ready? Let's go there. John chapter 4. We're going to pick it up from verse 4 now. Hear the word of the Lord. Now he, this is Jesus, now Jesus had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Joseph's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. What time? Noontime. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Let's pause there. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Here is the first observation, first point. Write these words. Jesus listens to you without judgment. Write that word judgment with in caps. Judgment. Jesus listens to you without judgment. This is how he's blessing the woman. And therefore, he's blessing you and me by listening to us without passing judgment. When Jesus says, "Will you give me a drink?" You know that question? Jesus is always asking questions so that he may listen to your heart. He is probing these questions. He's simply saying, "Hey, I'm thirsty. Would you please give me a drink of water?" That question is opening up a conversation. And then here is what she's saying. She is startled. She goes, "Are you talking to me? Are you talking to me?" And that's because the Bible says, for Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Let me unpack it for you. Jesus is cutting across not just one barrier, but two, three barriers. Okay? Number one, the gender barrier. She says, "I am a Samaritan woman and you are a Jewish man." In those days, strangers, in this case, men and women, they don't talk publicly. So here is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Holy Divine, the God, the Creator himself. He is crossing that boundaries. He's breaking the barrier, the gender barrier. In those days, this was not how things ought to be. I'm just saying this is descriptive. This is how things were. 2,000 years ago in Israel, in Samaria, men were thought to be superior, and therefore there was a divider. And Jesus Christ breaks that barrier. He approaches her with a question. He wants to listen to her story. So she's startled, surprised. It gets even more surprising. "You are a Jew, I am a Samaritan." Those two races, those two peoples did not associate. The Jewish people looked down upon the Samaritans. The Jews thought of the Samaritans like dogs, In fact, that's what they used to call them, dogs. Did you know every pious Jew would wake up in the morning every day and he would offer two prayers, looking up to heaven, saying, "Thank you, Lord, that I am not a woman. Thank you, Lord." Sorry, three prayers. "Thank you, Lord, that I am not a slave." And lastly, "Thank you, Lord, that I am not a Gentile or non-Jewish person." And here's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, breaking that barrier. He cuts across that boundary and he is approaching her because he what? He listens to her story. Why? So that he may bless her. Third barrier is this. We're going to find out more about this, okay? But the first clue is this. What time was it? What time did the woman come to the well? About noontime. It's about 2 p.m. in the afternoon. Now, why would John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, write these words down? Well, that's because that's when it happened, obviously. But the reason he adds that information is so that you may know, that I may know, something about the woman. When people went to the well, guess what time of the day they went to the well? Early in the morning, sunrise, and at the end of the day, sunset. Because during the day, midday, noontime, 2 p.m., it's when it was the hottest. It was hot. It's been really hot here in Alberta, okay? But we're talking about 45 Celsius in Israel, okay? It was really hot. So why in the world would this woman come to the well at 2 p.m. when it's hottest? And number two, why would she come all by herself? Drawing water was a social activity. All the women, all the girls, they went together. Hey girl, let's go draw water in the morning time and at night, right? So why was she there alone? And why was she there when nobody else was there? We're going to get to this more in depth, but the reason is she has had 5 husbands in the past, and she's living with a man right now who is not her husband. She is a social outcast because of her morality. She was a loose woman. And here's Jesus, the holy God himself, crossing, breaking the barrier of morality. And he is probing a question. Will you give me a drink of water? Why? So that he may listen to her story. Why? So that he may bless her. Friends, right now, you need to ask this question. Is Jesus asking me for a drink of water? Is he starting the conversation? Is he probing questions? Is he reaching out to me? I believe so. By the virtue of you being in this room with me, by the virtue of you listening to the words of Jesus, by the fact that Jesus is indeed asking you, Victor, will you give me a drink of water? Sonia, will you give me a drink of water? He's asking you. You know what that means? He wants to listen to you without judgment. If Jesus doesn't pass judgment on her, then I'm going to assume he's not going to pass judgment on me or you. Why not? Because he wants to listen. He wants you and me to be heard. He wants you and me to be known. And so he wants you and me to feel loved by him. So receive grace first. Jesus is saying to you, not to the world, he's saying to you right now, will you give me a drink of water? He wants to engage with you. He wants to hear your story without judgment. So we receive grace. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's dispense grace. Your friends, your neighbors, and your coworkers, and your loved ones, you know what they want the most? What people want the most is a friend who is willing to listen without judgment. Isn't that so? That's what you want. That's what I want. Here, listen. This is what Dave Ferguson says in his book. Listening is one of the purest acts of love. One of the purest acts of love. What your neighbors want is for someone to lean in and just listen. They want someone to assume the best about themselves. They desire a good friend to absorb their questions and stories without passing judgment. The sad news, and I need to confess that this is true. Most of us, we tend to talk than to listen. Listening is an act of grace, and as such, it needs to be learned, embraced, cultivated. We need to learn to listen just the way Jesus does. This is another quote from David Osberger from his book, Caring Enough to Hear and to Be Heard. This is what he writes, and I quote, being heard is as close to being loved for the average person. They are almost indistinguishable. Point well taken. When your friends feel that they're being heard by you, and they feel that they are known by you, then they're going to feel loved. So listening is an act of love. Now, let me just make one side point. You might be saying, how do I accept a person without condoning their immoral acts? Well, let's learn from Jesus. Jesus says, I am paraphrasing it from another story. Jesus, I believe, is saying to you and me, hey, accept the person, love the person without condoning their immorality. You and I certainly can say, hey, Victor, I love you, I accept you without condoning your behaviors and for your lifestyle. That's not passing judgment. That's calling a spade a spade. The Bible is always saying, hey, correct someone else when that person is in the wrong. And you can't do that without making a judgment call. But the difference is, while we may call an act or behavior moral or immoral, we are not to pass judgment, as in, do not judge. Do not be the judge of the universe. Do not condemn them, condemn the act without condemning the person. So, theme and the goal. Jesus blesses you by listening to you, and you get to bless others by listening to them. And we listen without judgment. Let's move on. The story gets even better. Verse 10. The Samaritan woman said to, this is verse 10, following Jesus' comment, right? So, Jesus answered her, verse 10, Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. Second point, write these words. Jesus listens to your story and offers hope. He listens intently to your story and he offers hope. The whole story is about thirst, isn't it? Have you caught that by now? The water, being thirsty, it's all a metaphor for something else. What are you thirsty for? She kept coming to the well, and when she heard that Jesus could offer a living water, right, and that she won't get thirsty, so that she won't have to keep coming to the well and draw water, it's a metaphor, isn't it? He listens to your story, and he offers hope. You keep coming to the well, lady, but whenever you drink this water, and after a while, you will be thirsty again. Let me offer you hope. Let me offer you something better. Recently, on my holidays, I had ridden my motorbike all the way to Nevada, to the desert. Oh my goodness, was it hot or what? Not only had I ridden my motorbike there, I also played rounds of golf with my friend. And it was really hot. You know how hot it was? 106 Fahrenheit. And you say, well, what's that in Celsius? Well, about 38. It was really hot. Let me tell you, each of us drank 10 water bottles. We would finish one, but then after a while, we feel good. But shortly thereafter, we get thirsty again. So we drank the second bottle, third, all the way to 10 bottles. And after that, guess what? We were still thirsty. It's like Jesus saying to the woman, you may drink this well, water. You may be satisfied for a while, but you will be thirsty again. And you'll have to come back to the well again. So since the thirst is a metaphor, here's a question for you. What are you thirsty for? What are you thirsty for? I don't mean water. It's a metaphor, right? It stands for something else. Are you thirsting for a new relationship? You may get a new one, maybe a better one, hopefully the better one than the last time. But after a while, you will be thirsty again. Are you thirsty for a financial security? I'm not talking about getting rich and becoming a millionaire. I had a friend back in seminary. So seminary is a school, a graduate school, where people go for becoming a pastor, for Master of Divinity. One of my classmates said, Victor, I'm not feeling greedy. I don't want to be rich. I don't want to become a millionaire. All I want is a sense of financial security. I just don't want to worry about where the rent is going to come from next month. Is that you? Well, you may have some financial security next month, but after a while, you will be thirsty again. You will need more. Are you thirsty for a better marriage? Allow me to speak to you. Things are hard right now, maybe for you and for your spouse. Or, well, they're not too bad, but you want a better marriage, right? And you cultivate that. You even get married, okay? And maybe married couples will tell you, singles, well, stay single as long as you can. The point is, even though you may obtain a better marriage, you will be thirsty again. You will not be fully satisfied. Are you thirsty for a world without COVID? A life without face masks? Life in which you get to hug and embrace your friends and hang out and do all the celebrations that we were meant to do. Well, that day will come, but even then, after a while, you will be thirsty again. And that's because whatever this life offers, whatever you think is a good thing, and if you think, if you had that, you will no longer be thirsty. Well, wait around. Stick around a bit. You've been there before, haven't you? You wanted something in the past. You got it. And it was good for a while. But ultimately, you became thirsty again. So Jesus listens to your story, and he offers hope. He says, and I quote, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never, never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them," a what? "A spring of water welling up into eternal life." I think of this fountain of life that is endless, limitless, and it's gushing out this living water, and you are going to be dancing in it. Well, you receive grace. Jesus is offering you, he's listening to your story, but he's offering hope. And that's what we receive, and therefore that's what we dispense. We get to listen to the stories of our friends, your neighbors, colleagues, and co-workers, and simply offer hope. Case in point. As a pastor, I've been to my share of number of funerals, right? And what I hear from the grieving families is this. Pastor V, it's not what you said at the funeral, really. It's not what you verbalized, really. It was just having you there. We felt you heard our cries. We felt it known that you were hurting with us, that you were grieving with us, and therefore we felt loved. And only then the hope of the resurrection really came through, that we will see our father again, that we will see our grandma again in the hope of the resurrection. Listen to the story of your friends and offer hope. A woman that I admire and respect at Mosaic House Church, she and her husband befriended one of their neighbors, okay? John and Sally. Okay? Now, she told me, I don't think there was a coincidence. I think God put the two couples together, us and them. Okay? Now, I know that to be true because of this. When we read the Bible today in John 1, it starts with this. Jesus had to go through Samaria, right? No, he didn't. No. I'm not disagreeing with the Bible. I am just giving you an interpretation. Jesus didn't have to go through Samaria in terms of the distance and the traveling itinerary. In fact, going through Samaria was the best route, but because the Jews and Samaritans did not associate, Jews did not go through Samaria. They went around Samaria. But the Bible says he had to go through Samaria. You know why? That's right. Because of the woman. He had a divine appointment waiting for him. And that's what this Mosaic House Church member said. I felt like we were meant to connect with this old couple. So this woman and her husband reached out to the couple, and they're listening to their story. And don't you know, wouldn't you know it? John is going through health reasons, and they listened. They mourn together, they weep together, but then they offer hope. We'll be praying for you. Can we pray for you? Can we journey with you? And without saying in so many words, they offer hope. God may help you. God may give you comfort. God will somehow give you the strength to endure. Okay? So listen, Jesus blesses you by listening to you. You bless others by listening to them. Number one, listen without judgment. And number two, listen to their story and offer hope. Number three, let's start with verse 16. Jesus told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man now you have is not your husband. What you have said, what you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and His worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When He comes, He will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am He. Verse 28. Let's read the first sentence together. This is so amazing. Verse 28. Then leaving her water jar. What? Leaving her water jar, the woman back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out to town and made their way toward him. Verse 39. Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And they stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. This is the word of the Lord. It's the last point, observation. Number 3, write these words. By listening, Jesus satisfies your spiritual thirst. By listening, Jesus satisfies your spiritual thirst. Question, how many times was she married? 5 times. 5 husbands, right? And the man that she's now living with is not her husband either. So she had 6 men in her life. Jesus leans in. She hears her story without judgment, and he offers hope, the living water. And then by listening, what does he do? He satisfies her spiritual thirst. Why would this woman go from one man to another man to another, 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 another? The explanation is this. She had a thirst in her soul. You see, and she thought, she believed, she hoped, if I had a relationship, if I had a man, if I had a marriage, that thirst would be satisfied. But it wasn't. So she kept going from one man to another. And at the end, she gave up a marriage. But she was still with the man. Number 6. And her soul was still not satisfied. Now, let's not pass judgment here. Let's call that immoral, okay? But nonetheless, we do not condemn her because we see ourselves in her shoe. And Jesus does not condemn the sinner. He condemns the sin. Here's what's happening. Everyone has a spiritual thirst. You have one. I have one. Every human being on the face of the earth has this longing thirst. You know why? And that's because the creator, the designer, the manufacturer put that spiritual thirst void in us. And he can only fill it with Jesus. And without Jesus filling that thirst, satisfying it, nothing will satisfy it. One of my friends, one of my neighbors, John, he's from China. And you know, we became good neighbors, and I learned to listen, and I learned to ask the right questions. So I said, hey, why did you move to Canada? So he told me his story, and I listened well, and I think he felt heard and known and felt loved. He said, when I was back in China, I had a good job, but I had that spiritual thirst. So I thought, if I got married, maybe I would be satisfied. So he got married. And he said, but I still wasn't satisfied. So I thought, maybe if we move to Canada, that thirst will be quenched. So we moved. We have a nice house, 2 cars, 2 healthy children. And I go, and I leaned in, and what happened to that spiritual thirst? He said, oh, it's still there. In fact, it's thirstier now. You see, for John, for me, and for you, we have that spiritual thirst void in our soul. And only Jesus can satisfy it. Only He can quench it, because Jesus says, I am the living water. Drink from me, drink from me, and you will be satisfied, and you will never thirst again. And that's what Jesus is saying. He will indeed quench your thirst. Will you come to Him? Will you drink from Him? Will you receive His grace? Now, for those of us who receive the grace, let's dispense the grace. What does it mean in terms of passing this on to our friends and our neighbors? Listen to their story and then share your story, how you, your spiritual thirst was satisfied. Don't preach to them. Simply tell them. You know what evangelism is? I believe evangelism is one thirsty person telling another thirsty person where to find the living water. That's it. Simply tell your story. What was your spiritual thirst, and how was it satisfied in the person of Jesus Christ? That's it. Remember, Jesus blesses you by listening to you, and you bless others by listening to them. Please pray with me. Lord Christ, you are the living water. We declare what you declared. You are the living water. And we come to you by your invitation. Thank you for listening to our stories. Thank you for not judging us. Thank you for offering us hope. Thank you, most of all, for satisfying our spiritual thirst. Now help us to tell others about you. How? By listening to their stories, O Lord. Open doors. Help us to become better listeners. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.